This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You got it from a couple of outlets now. Both ESPN and the Commercial Appeal have got stories up about Ja Morant and his civil trial with one Joshua Holloway, the former teenager, was 17 at the time. We know the story was in Ja's backyard a couple summers ago. Now it's July of 2022, and got into a fight. And according to, I'll read from the Commercial Appeal story, Ja's legal team got a victory here, ruled in favor of Ja Morant, writing in a court order, the Shelby County Circuit Court judge, that Morant acted fairly in self-defense when he punched a teenage basketball player during that pickup game. Morant was granted the presumption, reading from the CA story over commercialappeal.com, was granted the presumption of civil immunity under Tennessee's self-defense immunity statute and in the ongoing civil lawsuit stemming from the incident, which again took place at Morant's home in Eads. The ruling comes after a three-day hearing in December that saw a number of witnesses take the stand, including Morant himself. Remember, back in December, we were going through some of that witness testimony. So the lawsuit itself, at least according to ESPN, will continue at a later date. It had originally been scheduled to begin in late April, will begin at a later date. And again, with now, you know, it being determined that Ja acted in self-defense.
Yep.
A good chance at this point that Holloway's lawsuit isn't going to reach the desired ending.
Free Ja. You know, that's kind of just where I'm at with it. Free Ja. The main thing at this point was
Carol Chumney, the judge.
Yes. Thank you, Carol. The main thing was just avoiding jail time based on this egregious act. And now that
it's a civil trial.
I'm being told that it is now a civil trial. And
has been.
I'm being told that it always has been a civil trial, and that we devoted, unfortunately, a little bit too many resources to a what seems to be a sham of a case here. Sending ESPN. I mean, they were really looking, weren't they? I mean, we had Tim McMahon down here. We had Baxter down here. I mean, they were really looking and trying to discover and uncover what was going on. It was just it was Ja acting in self defense. The ball was thrown in his face. 2 years ago. It's starting to feel like...
And the key here, it seems to be, in the ruling is not just that he, you know, threw the ball at him. It was the stepping toward Ja and the apparent balling of fists by young Joshua Holloway.
Yes.
That then made it a self-defense situation for Ja.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Balled up fists like them balls.
Man, the balls were, you know.
Remember when they balled them up and Penny saw them balling
criminals.
Up fists?
Yes, I do. I wanted to sue. Penny wanted to sue. We all did.
And that's what Ja's camp, and they have won this. That's what they say.
Yes.
Young Joshua was doing.
Okay, well, now we know. Now we know that it's apparently he's not going to come out of a pocket here. Hey.
Remember, Devontae got a lick in, too.
A lesson might have been learned here. Lesson might have been learned here. If you are ever in a situation where you have a chance to take money on the table, cash on the table, and a first offer to settle this and get the hell away, you should take that offer instead of taking it to court. Because then you got to worry about the court costs and all those things. And now you have nothing to stand on because, again, self-defense is self-defense is self-defense. It's over. You will get nothing and you will like it.
Mm-hmm. According to the CA, questions remain about the case's future, obviously. Rebecca Adelman, one of the attorneys representing Holloway, has filed a motion challenging the constitutionality of Tennessee's Stand Your Ground law and argued that it violates Holloway's due process rights. A hearing about those arguments hasn't taken place. again, I don't know what Adelman's got to stand on any, at this point anymore when it's already been fairly, you know, determined that he acted fairly in self-defense. I mean, I would think that your civil trial, you know, a lot of it was going to hinge on this not being a case of self-defense. And so I don't, you know, whatever they're paying Adelman at this point seems like, you know, you might be just throwing away money. I'm not sure that this is going to go any further.
Yeah, I don't see how it does. I don't know at this point, you know, what you what more you have to stand on. So, but look, I'm sure for Ja, from that standpoint, like, behind me, it's over. I got kind of
I mean, I will say at one point I said Ja should have settled this, that it wasn't worth you know, the public scrutiny, the headlines themselves, that you just settle it. Again, that's not knowing what the Holloways were asking for in a settlement. Maybe that number was crazy. And to Ja's point, he said, I'm not going to do it. Mm. You know, as he said, the truth will come out or whatever else. And, yeah, I mean, you know, fighting this to this point, I know he spent a lot of money clearly on attorney fees, but they have been worth it to this point, getting this legal victory, it seems, because in the end you'll be able to get a headline that says you acted in self-defense and you didn't have to pay the Holloways anything. That's what it looks like. Again, this is not done. Right now, there's still a trial set, but when it will happen, who knows?
Yeah.
And if the Holloways will continue to pursue.
Look, this is just part of, you know, I think the whole deal, you know, being over and done with, and now it's like your full focus is taking these Grizzlies as they get ready to play a critical game tonight against the San Antonio Spurs to keep the alive. Streak alive, bro. I don't know if you've seen that this roster, these guys are fighting. These guys are fighting. 415 players have suited up for the Grizzlies this year. It's a new record.
Yeah, I'm imagining I have Ja on the sideline in it's a parade inside my city sort of type vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Feeling a legal victory here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Legal victories are the best kinds, as they say.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can get the on-court.
He's going to feel the way. He's going to feel exonerated.
Yeah.
And listen, he's switching agents. This can be the start of cleaning everything up, getting a ruling like this. This can help, again, the fact that it has been now in a court determined that you acted in self-defense. You still was fighting a teenager, still had your boy jump him. It's bad optically, but at least from a civil trial standpoint, you've had a ruling that you acted in self-defense. That can help clean things up. Again, you're still going to have your opponent in the NBA guys coming at you saying, I ain't no boy. I know they're still going to talk to you crazy. You're still going to hear about it.
Yeah.
But this is good. In a court of law, it's been determined you acted in self-defense.
Yeah.
It can help. That can be the start or part of cleaning things up.
Yeah.
Or those will be determined by Ja's future actions.
Exactly. Exactly right. So, anyway, I know it was a fantastic development for him and his family. As you know, they are in the process, as we know, of changing agents. They've parted ways with Jim Tanner and Tandem. I think, you know, there's a moratorium. There absolutely is a moratorium on when you can announce your next move. But I think if you're Ja, you're looking for someone who can sort of uplift, right? You're looking for someone who can sort of, you know, when it comes to your personality, your growth, your maturity, somebody who can really lift you into becoming the best version of yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who can, you know, sort of help you spread your wings and just kind of let it fly. I think that's what you're looking for in your next agency. And, you know, I don't know if there's anybody out there that could do that for him. I'm not sure. But I think somebody that can maybe, who's been in that spot before, who maybe was there when all of this happened. I don't know if there's a person out there, you know, who you could turn to. But if you ever did have somebody that you could turn to in that very specific scenario, I would do that. May we all be so lucky. You know what I mean?
Just that and give me some endorsements because my max deals are expiring.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's an exciting time for Ja. And, you know, it is for this team. I mean, you get him clear eyes, full heart, can't lose mode. Jaren, Desmond Bain, we'll see what happens with the rest of this roster, but you feel like you've got some rotation guys. I'll say this, and I mean this with all sincerity. I watched the Denver Nuggets. Their rotation guys, not as good as what the Grizzlies have. I'm being dead-ass serious. Because when they go to that bench, oh, it's ugly. It's ugly, bro. They got Christian Braun out there, Reggie Jackson. Give me Gigi and Vince Williams over those two all day long at this stage. So that's...
Yeah, you're talking about the back end of it, bro. You're not talking about the top three.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying their bench.
Yeah, I get it. But the bench is not why they won a title.
No,
last year.
It's not
the reason why they are.
It can supplement you, though. I mean, it can help you win some games in a playoff series. Christian Braun helped them win game three of the finals last year, whichever, game two, game three, one of them, you know. You just need one.
Jokic, Jamal, and Aaron Gordon.
Yes.
Compares to Bane, Ja, and Jaren. That's about.
I mean, I would say Jamal and Ja are comparable. Jokic obviously got
Nothing comparable.
Yeah, Jokic is the best, but I think we could flip a coin on Ja or Jamal to be. Most people probably take Jamal, but I think there's a case to be made for Ja, at least. So Aaron Gordon to me, I would have Bane over him. I would rank Aaron Gordon probably last. If you're going top six, I would say Aaron Gordon's probably sixth. Bane, you know, you could argue over. I think there's a case though for I would say it's close. It's close. You know, they have number one, but Grizzlies are in the discussion. It's not a route. That's all.
It's the MVP candidates potentially that should be compared. So Jokic is better than Ja.
Yes.
Jamal Murray's better than Bane at this point.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
And then it's Aaron Gordon and
Jaren, which I'll give you. Jaren got Aaron.
But it has to be Ja, and because of the money, so you understand what you're paying, that really has to be Ja and Jokic that you're comparing.
Well,
you don't get to pick there.
I don't think anybody compares to the Joker, right?
Clearly, that's what sets them away. Again, yeah. So again, going through who their eighth and ninth guys are and saying yours are better.
Well,
that's why that doesn't matter.
Sixth and seventh.
Because their one is so much better than our one.
Sixth and seventh, though. I mean, that can matter. We've seen that matter before. Sixth and seventh is like Brandon Clark, you know, Vince Williams. I mean, Gigi's probably eighth or ninth. But Vince and Brandon. I mean, again, that's where you're at with this thing.
No, it's exciting. It's exciting to think about what they'll have next season.
Yeah, and
exciting to think whether Marcus Smart can hold off Vince and Gigi for the job at the three. Because now
absolutely.
All of a sudden you got threes.
Yes.
You have options at the three. The wing
absolutely.
Thing feels settled.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot to look forward to.
And I did want to let you know, even though you did help us out on the fresh coat of paint last weekend at the Marcus Smart retirement ceremony, we did go ahead. And it's going to be about a 15% spike on your season tickets for next year. But go ahead and get those reserved because of all that excitement. It would have been 20, but we knocked off 5 for the paint job and the help with the installation of the record. So go ahead. Did you get your seats reserved?
No, I have not.
Okay. You can just get back in that power tee. If you occasionally, right?
Yeah. I don't think my body can take it doing that every game.
That's like how
they had folks up there in the second level selling those season tickets. They sure did.
That's how I felt at
waiting
the Sphere,
for you
bro.
As you got it came up the escalator.
I looked around in the Sphere. I was like, what if we all fell down? You know, that's kind of how I imagine you felt at the
unbelievably steep the forum is. They really got to get that corrected.
Are they going to be able to do that?
Yeah, because I think you'll have more lower bowl, and yeah, the top hopefully won't be as steep.
Yeah.
It's so steep because you're trying to put so many up there. And
right.
We're going to flip it, basically.
Yes. Okay, well, that'd be great. Just for people's comfort when they're watching these games. But anyway, good day for John Moran.
Legal win for John Moran.
Legal victories. Legal victories, man. We take those around here, you know?
Got to watch out for them 17-year-olds.
True words never spoken. You know what I'm saying? True.
I mean, it's true. It's true. That's true in Memphis.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's true.
On a pickup basketball court.
Well, yes, but I just think it's.
Ain't got no gun.
Yeah, I think that's just true generally. You got to watch out for them 17-year-olds. I think that's just absolutely a good word of advice. Period.
Watch out for them check balls.
Yeah. Like, actually stop playing pickup with kids.
Oh, that goes without saying.
Like, anybody that's not an NBA player, you should not be playing pickup with. Go to those.
Well,
I mean, I know but you have to. I'm sorry, you have to. You have to give that up because people will try you. You're Ja Morant. Go play up there in New York, you know, with all those guys like Melo and them. Go play with them. You have to. You have to leave that stuff behind, man. You start letting the average population Just
they're all going to try to test you.
100%, bro. They're going to try to say, I caught a body on
especially
John
Morant.
That's the
little fiery ones, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way that works, you know? And so, like, I know it was all, like, and that's what they say, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I think what Ja is doing is, like, that was all, that's him. He's a community guy. He came up playing pickup in the neighborhood. He wants to do the same thing. But you can't anymore. You can't because you have way too much to lose. And you have too many people who know that and who will try to take that. And that's what happened in this case.
Well, you got just too many people in Memphis, and he knows them. They can put together an organized game for you that gets out of what it, you know, what you need out of it. You're playing, and it's safe. And you ain't got to worry about anybody trying you.
Exactly right.
You know, or stories coming out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been doing that in Memphis for years.
Exactly. Anyway, there you have it. Legal victory, as Jason said, for John Morant. We'll come back. Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about all of this. We'll get his thoughts on Cal and more. Jason and John, are you trying?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM, ESPN. Jeff Cogg is going to join us here in just a moment. But before we get to Jeff, Cal has spoken. John Calipari on his Twitter account, which soon is going to say, ARC Coach Calipari.
ARK Coach Calipari.
Yeah. Hogs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hog Coach.
Yeah, that's probably better.
I'm not sure. It'd be interesting. But he did have a mess. We can play a little bit from it, Brad. It looks like he's in the looks like this was recorded yesterday because this is the same pullover he was wearing.
It was before the dog walk.
Yeah, I think he either this is before or after the dog walk, but it's the same pullover he was wearing. So he clearly recorded this yesterday. Yeah.
And it's timed with Barnhart's announcement. It
Barnhart's
talking.
So he got this done yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. So we could play a little bit from this and just hear what Cal has
to say.
Start
at the front end or middle?
Sure, yeah. I mean, just start it from the beginning.
You got it. Okay.
Since our season ended, Ellen and I have spent a lot of time thinking about our time here at Kentucky. What it means to us, the friends we've made on that court, regional championships, conference championships, Final Fours, the national title in 2012. It's been a beautiful time for us. This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program. There have been opportunities that have been presented to us, and we're discussing them as a family. I love coaching. I love coaching young people. I love this year's team. I loved every day walking in. They've invigorated me. I love the chase for championships. I love bringing the kids together. It's what I do. It's who I am. Let me start, though. I've got to thank.
Yeah, so he's going to start thanking all the players, blah, 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 blah. But there you go. It really doesn't sound that much different than the day he left Memphis, does it? Kind of. It sounds kind of the same, even though it's, like, not the same. He's getting run out of Kentucky, and he left Memphis on his own volition.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's completely different because it's going to be, I'm going to see you again. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's acting like he's not going to what could eventually be a rival, what is a rival, just in terms of your conference affiliation. He's not addressing the elephant that's in the room. I'm leaving you. You need another voice. Be seeing you again. And, oh, I plan to stick it to you. Like that's the part about Cal. You just hear the sales pitch.
Yep.
And that's always, that's what he's great at. And so yeah, he's telling you how much he loved Kentucky. He's not telling you, you know, this how good this opportunity is in Arkansas and how he's hoping to take this $5 million NIL and stick it back to you. That's the part about it that's so odd and weird. Telling you what a great – it's like kind of like he's riding off into the sunset, maybe done. That's – but he clearly says in there how much he – you know, just for the Kentucky fans are still wondering whether he's got the itch and everything and the motivations. He said in there how much he loved it this year and, you know, fighting for championships, everything else. I mean, Arkansas is going to get a motivated guy. That's there's no question about it. But he's not addressing the elephant in the room from the part I heard. Now, I didn't hear the final 10, 15 seconds or so. I don't know if he ever says the word. You know, I'm imagining he leaves it just as we're looking at other opportunities. But, yeah, man, you know, it sort of sounds like I'm a riding off into the sunset. The best thing for the program is to hear another voice. It's not that I'll be seeing you next year.
Yeah.
Bringing the Hogs into Rupp.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's conveniently leaving that part out.
Yes, he is.
But he had to say something to the fans.
He's going
to
spin it his way. There ain't no doubt about that. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Cogg is going to join us on the other side, talk to him about this and more. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins is a columnist over at the Daily Memphian, host from 9 to 11 for the Jeff Calkins Show here on 90 FM ESPN. He joins us every week at some point, depending on when we need him, when we appreciate his accessibility. There is no doubt about it, and his flexibility. He joins us now. We just heard Cal's first comments since, and he was. I think it appears he recorded them yesterday before he walked his dog Paul. But he did say that it was time for, even though it is a dream job and it was a dream job, it was time for another voice, which is definitely something I would like to say, and something I would borrow from if I am ever fired. I would say it was time for another voice here on the stage.
You think he was fired?
No, he wasn't fired, but he was.
He wasn't fired.
He wasn't fired, but he was. He's getting out ahead of it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like John can be full of it on any number of levels, right? But I and funny, I was actually listening to it when Brad called me just now, so I'm only about halfway through it. I that is completely true, don't you think? It is time for a new voice. It is the fans were sick of him, and it's just that there comes a moment when it's time to move on. And so I actually, again, I think he can be totally full of it, as we have witnessed over the years. But and very clearly, it wasn't time for a new voice a week ago. You know, it's only time for a new voice now that Arkansas has backed up the truck. Now it's time for a new voice. So the time hasn't really changed. Like, it's not because, oh, we've really reflected about it. Ellen and I have reflected about it, and we've just come to realize. No, you came to realize it when Arkansas gave you an escape clause, a very lucrative one, but I do think he's right.
It's different than Tubby, and John wrote about this over at the Daily Memphian. I know you read it. You talked about it this morning. It's different than Tubby in the sense that folks that are wondering, and I heard Harrington bring it up with you, that whether they're getting a John that's at the sort of the end, like Tubby was, and you're just trying to get that golden parachute, get you a final payday. It feels completely different, Jeff, right? I wonder if you agree in the sense that John's going to take that Arkansas team back into Kentucky, right? You got to go face them again, and you're not going to want to go in there with some half-ass roster. You're getting $5 million in NIL. You're going to get a motivated John Calipari that wants to stay. And that's the part about the video he didn't mention. Like, the elephant in the room is that you'll be seeing them again. That's the only part of it. But they're going to do – don't you agree? They're going to get the best John Calipari, I suspect, and maybe even one, to John's point, that's willing to make a few adjustments, you know, in some areas that he needs to.
I think that is always the question. Like, when you're getting someone, he's 65, and, I mean, I just tell you, I'm 62. Fishman's 63. I'm 62. And I'll be honest, do I work as hard as I did when I was 35? And just trying to make it? I mean, I think that's a fair question, like anyone at this stage. An answer to that, if I'm being completely candid, no, I don't. Like, I want to take more vacations. There's a moment when you're like, you know. And so I do think it's always a danger when you're hiring a coach at that stage. So whether you're going to get the very best John Calipari, I don't know. Like, the best thing I'll tell you was pretty freaking awesome. But I'm with you and with John and what he wrote in that a couple things. One is John is motivated, you know, by doubters, haters, enemies, you know, all that, right? And so I do believe he will absolutely find fresh motivation in this. I think that's absolutely true. And then, yes, he would be humiliated to go back into Rupp and get run out of the gym with the team that he has to bring back in Rupp. So I think John only does this if he has made the decision in his mind that that you know he's going to do it at a high level. And unlike Cubby, like I haven't looked up their lifetime earnings. I think Cubby wanted the paycheck, among other things. You know, John doesn't need John could have stayed at Kentucky and been an ambassador or what. Like he's made so much money that I really think the fact that he is doing it is evidence that his heart will be in it. And I think you'll get a very good and very motivated version of John. And if it's, even if it's not the best John, it will be as well funded as any John. And that matters,
right.
You know, more than anything else right now.
Yeah. People are absolutely raving about, my column today, for one, Thomas Sine wrote in the comment section. And again, this is I would consider this to be a 5-star review. A more unctuous, sycophantic prose could not have been written by Calipari's PR hack. What a waste of time and energy. Again, that's from Thomas Sine. Thank you, Thomas, for your review.
I like the fact that Thomas has gone with unctuous. And what was the other one?
Sycophantic.
And sycophantic. That's very impressive.
I wish some of these people would shove it up their ass. I really do.
You really can't read the comments, yeah, John.
You just can't read
the comments. The only time I told you, I don't read.
None of these people would say it to my face. That's what really bothers me.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Like I don't. I read the. I once. There was a coach at Rhodes, Dan Gritty, who was a very successful coach at Rhodes and a football coach at Rhodes. And he had been a lawyer in New York and during 9/11 watched the buildings come down and decided, I want to make a new life. And it was all about, it was a sweet column about how he slept on, you know, it was just a, and then comes to Rhodes and whatever else. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to read the comments here because this is such a nice column about a guy who's changed his life and is impacting people instead of, you know, doing whatever. First comment is, yeah, what a way to try to justify your own switch from being a lawyer, you sucker. You know, like you, whatever, just ripped into me.
Unbelievable.
And so that has to, you've got to realize you can only read the comments if you've written the sweetest column ever. And even then, it's going to bite you in the ass.
I know. Why, honestly, it's like, why are people so miserable?
I don't know.
Why are they so miserable?
I don't know.
Because I am a human being that uses the internet.
And
I never comment on somebody's story. They're like, this was a waste of time, you piece of crap. You are a failure to your whole family. I've never had the urge to, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Like there's a level of.
I thought your comment was well taken because I do agree. I think they're going to get a motivated version.
If John Calipari wanted to hire me for his public relations, we could certainly talk about that.
Work something out, right.
You know what I mean?
John does his own public relations.
He does. That's true.
You know,
he did have a guy, though. He did have a guy that ran CoachCal.com. I mean, we can bring that thing back if he wants.
The guy walks his own dog, for God's sakes, you know?
Without a leash.
He can pay someone to walk his dog.
With no leash. I think that's against the law.
With no leash.
Did he?
Anyway, yeah, I think he'll be great. Now here's the question. Where does the and again, Jason and I have talked about this. I don't think that people really spend a lot of time actively hating John in Memphis anymore, but to the extent that it's still a thing, right? Like where does this go now? Like for example, if you're a Memphis fan who bears a grudge against everything that happened when John left, do you want John to take his recruiting class to Kentucky, but that'll help John? Like, who do you want, or do you want him to, like, do you want it to stay at Kentucky? I find myself wanting him to take his recruiting class to Arkansas so Kentucky fans know what it feels like. To the extent that I care at all, that's where my pettiness goes here. Where do you think people are on this?
I think people maybe because it's not the school he left for, so maybe it's a little softer these days.
I think it's much softer. I don't think people are going to – I don't think people are going to root against – they haven't as much anyway, right?
Right.
But to the extent that this is a – this changes the dynamic. I'm not going to – you know, I don't think many people are going to spend a lot of time hating Arkansas.
Yes. No, it was the perfect combination, right? It was like you know, you're being when Cal left for Kentucky, it was basically you're being told you're not good enough, right? Go back to where you came from, basically. And I'm going to go be a blue blood, and you're going to fade off.
He took the recruiting class
100%.
And
yes.
He left you on probation.
And we know he urged
them to not release the news of the probation
until he could make the escape. It was really, and they obliged.
He said this is a place. So it was honestly,
it was as clumsy and messy and just
or it was perfectly pulled off, calculated, as you can imagine.
No, we felt like we had been had. You know, we felt stupid. That's how, and we were made to feel less than all of those things. So,
do you believe he will take Arkansas to a Final Four?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would bet, whatever.
Yes.
No odds.
Yes.
Give me $1,000 if you're right.
Yes.
Will they go to?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely, bro.
Do you think the next coach at Kentucky will take Kentucky to the Final Four?
I do not.
I'd bet the opposite.
I do not. That's because you don't really know ball like that, bro. Like you don't know.
I think Cal will take to bet on anyone going to the Final Four is sort of a long shot.
I'm betting on a fire in his belly. Cal, yeah. Go 100%. I'm betting on that guy. Because it's what he does.
I am betting on that guy too. But Final Four is a lot to end.
He went to four at Kentucky. It's not like you get an easier path.
How many years is going to be at Arkansas? Five?
I think he'll finish his contract. Whatever it is. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Hey, he's not going to finish his contract because here's what's going to happen. After one mildly successful year, he's going to get a new contract. He's never going to finish his.
Okay,
never,
well,
like,
fine. Well, I mean, whatever the original. I think he'll be there, you know, I'd be 65. He'll be there seven, eight years.
No. 73?
Yeah, I mean.
He'll be there 5 years.
How old was he?
And will he get to a Sweet 16 in that time? Yes, absolutely.
How old is Jim Larrañaga? Jim Larrañaga's coaching. I mean, he's well in his 70s. He's 74 years old. He's coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, 73 is probably.
It is funny. When you see John walking that dog, he does look like. He and the dog both. They look like they've aged, don't they?
Well, John has aged. When I watched that,
he's got more of a belly.
No doubt. Yes.
He's a little.
When I watched he does look tired. When I watched the video of the press conference when he was leaving Memphis, you know, he looks like a different human. He looks like a different human. Like he looks like
15 in Lexington. Yeah. Age you.
No, like the presidency.
Yeah. He looked tired. He looked better in today's video or whenever that one was.
He's like, getting the hell up out of this. You know. By the way, real quick, do you remember, maybe we've asked you this before, but you were reading a book. What book was it? Do you remember?
What?
At the press conference when Cal announced he was leaving, you were reading a book. Okay.
I was sitting on the lawn reading a book.
Thank you for doing that.
Let me ask you another question. Watching last night's national championship game, honestly, made me feel bad about Memphis. Did it have any, like, because it just seems like Memphis is
so far away.
Yeah. And not only that, if you just listen to everything the coaches said about the way that they build a program, and like, it's just so, like, Matt Painter literally said, there's some coaches out there trying to get seven players. That's impossible. You know what I mean? And, like, they each have one fifth-year transfer in the starting lineup, and that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got others who've been there for, you know, Newton's been there for a couple of years or whatever else, but it's so obvious how you build a program, right?
Yes.
How you build a successful program in this day and age.
Yes.
And it's so obvious that that is not how it's being done here.
Yes.
It just kind of made me feel, and I've been the one who's been most optimistic. I'm like telling you that Memphis is going to make the tournament next year.
You're a Jehovah's Witness.
I watched that last night, and I'm like, oh, that is...
Well, that's why
that is a different universe.
That's why I had to start covering college basketball nationally, because locally wasn't going to happen for me anymore. I had to just branch out. I couldn't have all my eggs in the Memphis basket anymore until that situation corrects itself. But listen, keep doing what you're doing. Keep going door to door and ask, have you heard the good word about the candle? The candle burns eternal for Penny Hardaway, and it burns internally for you in your spirit. Can the candle light a fire in this program? Can it set this program ablaze?
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
Burning the candle at both ends, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're going to have a fire in the belly, John. You're going to have a fire in the belly, Penny Hardaway.
Hey, I hope so, because I bet on that guy, too. I'm serious. I bet on that guy. But as long as it's like not during the season, it's got to be before the season. Then, you know, if it gets sideways during the season, he starts calling everybody out and saying that the guys have quit, they don't work hard. You know how that goes. Anyway, I know you got to get back to your door-to-door route. Thank you, as always, Jeff.
See ya.
Yep, he is Jeff Calkins, Jehovah's Witness, and commerce for the Daily Memphian, host of Jeff Calkins Show. Hey, the wing guru has the best wings. I'll tell you this, I will testify that they have the best wings in the country. It's just true. And what makes them so good? It's they're crispy. It's the different flavors that you're going to get that are just they're exclusive. They're unique to the wing guru. You're not going to find them anywhere else. Many try to imitate. Many try to duplicate. It's not possible. It's not possible to do what the wing guru does. The quality, the flavors you're going to get every single time. You guys know my go-to every time is the garlic sriracha, with good reason. But there's lots of different flavors up there. You can get the lemon pepper. You can get the Triple J, the Can't Catch Cow, whatever you're into. It's waiting on you at the Wing Guru. Get over there today.
New menu item as well, the Guru Legs. You can get fantastic, crispy, delicious fried chicken legs in your favorite Wing Guru flavor, whichever one of the 22 flavors is your favorite. I'm a Nashville hot guy. John just told you he's garlic sriracha. Got the spicy taco. Got the Triple J for Jaren Jackson Jr. Try the Can't Catch Cow. But you can do it now. Don't forget, new on the menu, those crispy, delicious fried chicken legs dipped in your favorite Wing Guru flavor. When you see Billy Richmond, know first that he's a man that's about innovation. Secondly, you tell him that Jason and John sent you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.